Our scripture reading for today is taken from the third chapter of St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, beginning there with the 20th verse. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've ever had the opportunity to be in a very, very large city at rush hour and try to go out into a stream of pedestrians walking on the sidewalk when it is extremely full and packed, sometimes it can be very difficult. There are just so many bodies around, traveling in various directions and so on. Imagine, if you will, being in rush hour like that as work lets out at 5 o'clock, downtown New York City, and you're out on the sidewalk and the crowd is primarily going a direction that is away from the destination you want to pursue. How difficult that would be to try to move against the flow of all those bodies and all that commotion and all of those people. In the text before us today, St. Paul is using an imagery of walking in life and the destination that we are pursuing. For the Christian, that is heaven. And right before these verses, he has contrasted that with the fact that the majority of people in this world are walking a different direction. They are heading toward the God, if you will, and the home of the destruction, because they're chasing after the earthly goods and the earthly wealth and fame and fortune that you can get in this life. And St. Paul is talking about the contrast here between these two groups of people. The one that is going through life toward the destination that seems so real and so good and so profitable, the things that you can get here in this world and in this life, and then this other small band of people, believers in Christ, who are trying to go through that crowd in a completely different direction, fighting the current, if you will, and the flow of people, and the majority of people. As Christians, we are walking toward a destination that is invisible. We're aiming toward this home in heaven that is, because it's invisible, it's hard for the masses that are walking against us, going the other direction, it's hard for them to contemplate and understand why this matters to us, why we would want to be going that direction, why we would want to be spending our lives and our attention and our focus on getting there, because we can't even see it as you're in the mass of humanity. And so that just makes it even more difficult for us as we face this huge current going the other way. St. Paul says about those who belong to Christ and believe and trust in him, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. It's an interesting Greek word for citizenship. It's a word that means commonwealth. It has to do with where you legally belong. Believers in Christ legally, before the judgment of God, legally belong in heaven. That's how sure we can be of our salvation, because of the work of God's Son for us, paying for all of our sins. Through faith in him, we legally belong in heaven. That's our commonwealth. It's our citizenship. It's what we're heading towards. It's our destination. I remember years ago, I was carrying, at the time, my little daughter in my arms through a crowd of people on the 4th of July, downtown Minneapolis. And the crowd got so thick and full at one point that I felt my feet actually kind of rising a little bit off of the ground. It was kind of a scary feeling. If you've ever had that sensation, it's rather intimidating. And it was as if no matter what direction I wanted to go, the flow of traffic of bodies was taking me the other direction and pulling me along with them. And many times we as believers in Christ can feel that way as we head toward heaven. There are so many other people. The majority of people in this world are going the other way. They could care less about heaven, care less about what's going to happen after this life. This life right now is what they care about, living for now. And we can get caught up in that same sensation. We're tempted to want to go along with that as well and to get caught up in that flow of the mass of humanity. But numbers, in other words, majority and minority, has nothing to do with where the right destination should be. Listen to what Jesus once said. Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We are starting one of my favorite athletic seasons of the year, and that is basketball season. When I was in high school, I remember there was a team that I was following called North Carolina State Wolfpack. They went on to win the Division I championship, NCAA, one year. And one of the reasons that I liked them so much is they had a little guard on the team, 5'7", a guy named Monty Tau. Monty Tau was a fantastic little ball handler, and for some reason I could kind of identify with him. Anyway, it's because I was a fantastic ball handler. But on that same team, they just so happened to have the tallest guy in college at the time, Tom Burleson, who was 7'4". 7'4". Think of the difference in those two bodies. It's amazing when we watch athletics and basketball teams, we think of Shaquille O'Neal and Steve Nash, the difference in size of human bodies. Just even right here in this sanctuary, just think of how different our bodies from each other. And yet for Monty Tau or Tom Burleson, those two players, one thing they have in common is they're going to both someday end up in a box. Now, the one difference will be how big is the box, but that's the only difference. All of us will someday end up in a box. We don't like to think about that when we're in our 20s. We think that our bodies are going to keep going and that we're going to be healthy and strong. It's hard to imagine ourselves even getting out of shape someday. It's hard to imagine ourselves losing that ability that we may have. And yet, all of us, even from age 16 or 17 on, according to physicians, are on a gradual decline physically toward death. Our bodies are all heading toward that box and toward that grave. And that's a harsh reality for us to face. And the reason that you and I have to face that harsh reality about our bodies is because of sin in the world. The wages of sin is death. And that's what we all have in our future. But to those who hold on to Christ by faith, who believe and trust in Him, who God the Holy Spirit has worked in their heart the desire to hold on to what Jesus has done for them and His resurrection on Easter, St. Paul says these beautiful words, God will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. In the Old Testament, when God established the priesthood, He chose Aaron and his sons to be the priests. And they were just like everybody else in many ways, and yet God selected them out of the mass of people of the Israelites and had them consecrated. And here's what they did for the consecration. They took a ram, they all put their hands on the ram and slaughtered the ram and drained the blood and took the blood from the ram, and this really sounds bizarre, but they put a drop of it on their ear, their right ear, one on another drop on their right thumb, and another drop on their right big toe. This was God's way of showing that He had now purified and cleansed them and set them apart and consecrated them to be His priests. In the waters of holy baptism, your Lord has done the same thing for you. He has taken you and me out of this mass of humanity that's heading toward destruction, and instead has set us apart from that and has now consecrated you with the holy sacred water and His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You now belong to Him. He claims you, not only your heart and soul that holds on to Christ, but He claims your very body, your very, very physical body, to belong to Him. And in that sacred water has now purified and cleansed you and set you in a different direction, heading toward heaven, and not the destruction of this world. One of my favorite things to read when I was a pastor, when I was doing a funeral for a Christian, was to read at the end and of as we were going to lower their body into the grave, how the Lord would now keep and preserve these remains until the final day when Christ would appear again. Martin Luther said this about this text that we're reading today. I love this. He says, "Think of the honor and the glory Christ's righteousness brings even to our bodies. How can this poor, sinful, miserable, filthy, polluted body become like the one belonging to the Son of God, the Lord of glory?" He says, "Who are you to bring about this glorious thing? But human power has nothing to do with it. However, another force intervenes, the power of Christ the Lord, who is able to bring all things into subjection unto himself." Just think what an awesome day it's going to be for you and me to wake up from our graves, to actually see what it's like to have a glorified body, no longer plagued with the troubles of this sinful world and this fallen life. And you and I now, claimed by God, body, soul, and spirit, are his citizens that belong in a new land and in a new world, the life that is to come. And Christ now is leading us, even in this life, through the masses of humanity as we walk toward that beautiful final goal, looking forward to our glorified bodies. And right now there are times when we may have to struggle to get through the crowd that's going the other direction. And maybe even you at some point in your life, maybe even right now, have let go of the coat of Christ who's leading and guiding you. And maybe you've gotten caught up in going the other direction. Today is the day to grab onto his coat again through his word and through his sacraments, and to let him lead you as we fight the current of the masses toward our heavenly home. Amen.